Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you. We praise you, Lord. We're just so thankful for this house and our divine appointment with you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Tonight, as I was preparing this message, just got excited about it. I get excited every time I get to minister. You know, it's such an honor, first of all, to minister the gospel, but second of all, to be here in this place. You know, I'm just so, I look up to your pastor so much, and I very much value what God has given me in him. You know, years ago, and I've shared this with him before, but years ago, I was in youth group, I think, and I saw Pastor Mike, and I think he was, I'm not sure what he was doing at that time. He might have been in the Jamestown youth group at that time. And I saw him at a guest minister service, and there was just something about him that drew me to him. And I, you know, I didn't know him for anything. I knew who he was and what his role was, but that was the end of it. And I remember, and I just looked at him, and I said, God, I want to know that man. I want to get close to him, you know. And I just, that was it wasn't something that I sought every day of my life in prayer time or anything. It was just something I asked of God. And in that time, I've had the honor of getting, you know, you all know your pastor very well. I've had the honor of getting to see him and see his ministry, and you're the fruit of that. And what a wonderful fruit that is, that this church is such an honor to be here with you all. You're such great receivers, and he's such a good pastor, and Pastor Courtney, just such good pastors for you all. And, you know, I know I've boasted on them the past three services, probably can't stop tonight either, because it's a blessed house in this place. It's an anointed ministry that you're under in this place, and just such an honor to be here with you all tonight and to serve them. And just remember that every time you come to the house of God, that the honor that you have for your pastors will magnify his goodness in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we get into the word tonight, I have a note in here to start my timer, because I forgot to do that on Sunday. And I don't want to do that again tonight. Okay, there we go. So let's go ahead and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll pray before we get into it. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for your word, Father. We're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful that you gave him for us. And Father, there's so much that we could thank you for. We could spend all eternity doing it, and we look forward to doing that, Lord. But Father, tonight, as we have your word before us, I just thank you that you speak through me this evening. Whatever you want said, may it be said. Whatever you want done, may it be done in this place. Father, you have a plan and a purpose for this service. I just thank you for open hearts to hear, open ears to receive the word of God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and we rejoice at the revelation that comes from it, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for this service in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, go ahead and turn to verse 2, right at the start there. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So tonight, what I'd like to talk about, I'd like to look through the word at what the word has to say about faithfulness. Because there's a lot that it has to say about faithfulness, and I think it's an important principle for us to look at. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that. So we'll see some things that come with that. But the Bible says in Proverbs 28:20 that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And I take note of the second part of that scripture, because if it says that a man shall abound with blessings, well, I want to know what it takes to do that. I want to abound with blessings in my life, whatever that means, whether it's just financial blessing, whether it's all the blessings of God that we inherit by being children of God. I want to know what they are, and I want to know how to inherit them. You know, when the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it says earlier there in Romans that if they have not had someone to tell them about Jesus, how should they know? Right? It doesn't just stop at Jesus. If people don't have someone to tell them about tithing, how can they reap the benefits of being a tither? If someone doesn't have someone to tell them about healing, how can they reap the benefit of a God that heals them? Faith comes by hearing these things. And when it comes to faithfulness, if he says that there's blessings from being faithful, well, we like blessings. So what do we need to do to be considered faithful in God's eyes, that we can qualify for the blessings that come from being faithful? So we're going to see what is faithfulness. So 1 Corinthians 4:2, It says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That word faithful in the Greek, you notice I look a lot to the Greek because I think that there's a lot that it offers us, that there's many different translations and versions of these scriptures, and there's a lot that we can benefit from seeing them in different light. The New Century Version of the Bible says, now in this way, those who are trusted with something valuable must show that they are worthy of that trust. And that word faithful means reliable or trustworthy. You know, we've all been trusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he came into our hearts, when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we became entrusted with that ministry that we were supposed to, we're supposed to share that with people. It's not just for us. Matthew 5 tells us not to keep it as a light hidden under a bushel, but no, let it shine upon a hill for all the city to see. It's not just a pretty children's church song. It's the truth that this light that we have, the light of the gospel, is for other people to have, and we're to be that light for them to see. And there's nothing, when we've been trusted with that gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, you may think it's important to be trusted with a large sum of money. You know, I used to work at a job where I had to take the bank deposit at night. And when I reached the point where they considered me trustworthy enough to take the bank deposit, I thought that was pretty good. We were doing pretty good. But the Bible tells us that we've been trusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more valuable than that in all of creation. Right? No sum of money can equate to our salvation. No sum of money can equate to the promises that we reap from being children of God, that we don't have to suffer the things the world suffers. So when we're trusted with that, how do we show ourselves faithful of that trust? Because I know growing up, you know, you've probably heard this from your parents, you've heard it from bosses and things like that. Trust is earned, right? We need to earn trust. And when we're born again, we're entrusted with this gospel. So when we've earned that trust by being a child of God, how do we keep it? How do we keep that trust? Well, we've got to be faithful to it. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And what that means is that as children of God, as Christians, it's already in there. When we're born again, there's a deposit made when Jesus comes into us. And of that are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That when we're saved, these things come into us. And so we don't have to work these things up. We just have to know where to look for them. You know, I've got things at my house and I know where they are. But if I go looking in the wrong place for it, I'm not going to find it there. When we know where the thing is, that's when we'll find it. So the faithfulness that we need to be qualified for the blessings that the Bible says, it's already inside of us. We just have to tap into it. You know, around here in the springtime, you see, we've got a lot of maple trees. Right? All throughout New York State. They've got Maple Weekend all over New York State. Love homemade maple syrup. It's good stuff. But when you have a maple tree, inside of it is the sap ready to be turned into maple syrup. And inside every maple tree you see that's ready to be tapped, there's an abundance of sap ready to be tapped into. I know, we're rhyming a lot tonight. But until I take a tap and I actually tap into that tree, I'm never going to experience the goodness of what that sap has to offer, right? Inside of us is faithfulness. Inside of us is every fruit of the Spirit that we need to be light, to be successful Christians in life. All we have to do is just put the tap in and let it flow out. But when we open ourselves up to these things and let it happen that way, we know where to search for it. That when the time comes that I need to be faithful, I don't have to go muster up faithfulness. I just look to the inside. Because inside of me is the fruit of faithfulness. And I can just tap into it and let it flow in my life. Praise the Lord. And he tells us how to do that through his word. But you know, there's also a natural side to these things, because while our spirit is born again and is a new man, we still have to renew our mind, we still have to put our flesh under and live a consecrated life, and our flesh revolts at faithfulness, because our flesh is a product of this world, and Satan's the god of this world, and Satan is the opposite of faithfulness, right? He had an opportunity to be faithful to God, and he wasn't, and he turned his back on God. That's the opposite of faithfulness. And so our flesh revolts at the idea of being faithful to his word, being faithful to an employer. You know, people who are given to their flesh, they job hop a lot, right? People who are given to their mind, they often get in arguments with superiors, maybe, because they have a hard time succumbing to the fact that faithfulness is a place of submission to people. When we're in faithfulness to someone, it's from a place of humility and a place of submission. And we'll see this all in his word tonight. Why don't we turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. This lesson went a little bit different tonight, so we're just going to trust God in it. Usually, you know, because I don't minister often, Pastor Michael has said to me that when you start preaching, usually when you start preaching on a weekly basis, usually it takes about 2 years to get into a flow where you recognize how to walk in that flow. And obviously, I've been licensed for more than 2 years, but I don't preach every weekend. So I'm still learning quite a bit, and that's why I've loved this week with you all, as I've had the opportunity to learn quite a bit in this time. But usually when I go to prepare a lesson, you know, I follow the Holy Spirit in the direction of it, but there's a lot of maybe a structure that I like to go with, that I'm comfortable with. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit and God's good enough that He's willing to work within that, right? That I'm comfortable, He's happy, we flow together, and people are blessed, and it's the Word. Amen? But tonight, you know, usually the structure I have is I'll get an intro and then 3 points and then a closing, right? That's the classic lesson structure, if you don't know. That's what they teach in Bible school. But tonight, we're not doing that. So we're just going to trust God tonight that the Word's good. And as we look through the Word this evening, we're just going to take a walk through a parable that Jesus told and trust Him to bring out light that illuminates to us the law of faithfulness and how we can experience that in our life. So in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them, or reconciled. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you've delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, and that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered, and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money in the exchangers, or the bank, and men at my coming, that I should have received mine own with usury, or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and to him that have abundance, but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So I know we had a whole lot of words there, but like I said, we're just going to go through these scripture by scripture and see and get, you know, I gave the illustration of the lemons on Sunday, right? And we're going to get everything out of these scriptures that we can tonight. We're going to see this example of faithfulness. You know, when it comes to this parable, it's one of my favorite that Jesus told, because my heart's desire when I get to heaven is that I would be able to go before Jesus and he could say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, Pastor Michael Laketic has said often, you're going to hear either 2 things when you get to heaven. You're going to hear, "Well done," or, "Well, you're done." I don't want the latter. I want the former. I want to hear, "Well done," when I get before my Heavenly Father. When I get before my Savior, I want to hear, "Well done." And so, you know, one of my confessions that I have is that I'll be found faithful in everything I do. That when I put my hand to something, I'll be found faithful. And I confess it over my children. I call them faithful in all that God has called them to do. And we'll see these things in our life. But there's a lot more things. There are a few things, I should say, more important to me than faithfulness. I find faithfulness very important. It's been instilled in me since I was young, you know, a work ethic that when you're given a task to do, you do it. And you do it to the best of your ability. I tell friends there weren't many things that I got disciplined for growing up, but one of them was stacking wood the wrong way. If I got the job of stacking wood, it had to be done correctly, or else there was a penalty to pay. And not that God's out to get us, but there's fruit that'll come from doing things right. Right? There's fruit that'll come from following His commandments in our life, because the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So verse 14, we'll go through this scripture by scripture. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now this man is a type or an example of Jesus, and where the servants are an example of us. And when it says that he's gone into a far country, it's an example, and he'll be gone for a time. It's an example of Jesus in the time that we're in now, that Jesus is not with the church. He's not on earth, right? He's in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got Christ living inside of us, and glory to God, we have that name that's above every name. But his absence from us has caused him to entrust us with some heavenly gifts. Just like he's entrusted, this Lord of this vineyard has entrusted to his servants, it says he delivered unto them his goods. So he gave them these things and these talents that it talks about. It's not just a talent, you know, a talent like a talent show talent, right? It's an example of a measure. It was money is what they used as an illustration, and we'll see the value of it. But when Jesus talked about this man in his parable, it says that he gave him of his goods. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he had the Spirit without measure. And when he went to heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And so when we're born again, we receive a measure of what Jesus walked in. That he walked in the fullness of all these things. That he walked in the fullness of knowledge of God. That he had spiritual gifts operating, all nine of them, in his ministry at all times. That he was, not tongues and interpretation of tongues, because those came on the day of Pentecost. But he had the other seven flowing in his ministry at all time, because he had the Spirit without measure. And when he's given us these gifts, the measure of the anointings that he walked in, and the different blessings and giftings and endowments that he's given us in this life, he's going to ask us what we did with them. He's going to ask us how we handled these things that he gave to us. You know, there are those of us that may have a mind for business. I know businessmen, and I work with businessmen, that, you know, there's an entrepreneurial mindset. There's a certain way of thinking that goes with that. Well, what did they do with that gift? Did they focus it solely on themselves to get rich off of it, to just make money and flaunt that money before others? Or were they used as a tool in the kingdom of God to fund the gospel and do what God wanted to do? Jesus will ask people that. Jesus will ask people, you know, there's those that that have a heart for orphans. What did you do with that? I don't know. My wife, when she sees pictures of orphans online, she just melts. And I don't know what it means. I just say, okay, honey, I love you. That's great. But I pray for them, you know. There's different hearts, there's different gifts and endowments that God has given unto us that we're to use as the body of Christ to help the lost. That we're to use. That's our purpose in this world as the body of Christ, is to help the lost, to be a light to them. And when we're given these talents, it's how do we walk these things out? Are we faithful with these things? What did you do with that talent for singing that he gave you? Or that talent for music? That talent for an instrument? Are we using that for his kingdom? When we're given these things, the purpose of it is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to find us faithful in. You know, we're not going to be judged on all of these things. I certainly hope I'm not going to be judged on my singing gift, because I haven't been faithful with it, because I don't have one. But there are those that have them. And, you know, you look at Hollywood. How many of those wonderful singers that you hear out there were given that gift to glorify the Father, and they're using it to flaunt celebrity? When they get to heaven, we all have something that we'll be judged for. I can't look at them and say that I can correct their lives, of course. That's on them, between them and God. But what I do know is that when I get to heaven, there's things that he's entrusted me with that I want to be found faithful in. Verse 15, so we talked about that talent there. It says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according as his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. So the talent was a form of measurement, and talking about money in this case. And there's, I looked up a number of different versions, I studied this out. There's so many different qualities on what number exactly this talent was. You know, I read one translation that said it was $1,000. I read another that said it was $2 million. So, hey, if God wants to trust me with $2 million, I say okay. But if he wants to trust me with $1,000, I say okay. We'll be faithful with what he trusts us with. Amen? But it's proportionate. So we'll just say here, we'll stick with the 5, 2, and 1 talents. But later in this verse, what stuck out to me is it says, according to his several ability. And one version says, he gave each the amount that he knew that he could take care of. How do you think that Lord, and this isn't the Lord Jesus Christ in this case, it's just a parable, but how do you think that he knew what they would be able to take care of? He already knew their capabilities. He already knew what they were capable of because they'd already proven themselves, because they were his servants. They'd already, you know, he knew what their capabilities were because of their reputations going before him. You know, God knows what we're capable of. He knows the things that he's put in our hearts. He knows the desires that he's put into us. And when he knows what we're capable of, he's going to give us more desires. He's going to entrust us with abilities to prove our faithfulness in those areas because he wants to show us. He wants to get us more. God's always seeking to bring people higher. His mission, you know, we can stand in judgment off of anybody, that we can say we know better than them in that situation, and we may say they not deserve, you know, you see someone that you know has some issues in their life and they receive a blessing, and you think to yourself, well, they don't deserve that. That's not the Spirit of God. God's always seeking to get more to people. He's always trying to find a way. You know, people have asked me, why do people in a church that doesn't teach the Word, that teaches, you know, some messed up gospel or doctrine or have some weird ideas, why do they still get blessed? Why are there still things that happen there? It's because God still wants to bless his children, and if he can find one little avenue of faith to get in and get a blessing to his child, he'll do whatever he can to get it. Wouldn't you for your child? You know, I've got children, and if there were things that they disqualified themselves from because of disobedience, but I knew there was just one little area that I could get some sort of love or some sort of affection over to them, I'd do whatever it would take to do it. And God says our love is evil compared to his. How much more our Heavenly Father that he loves us. And so he's always seeking to get us more. And so it's interesting that you have these three levels of what he felt that they were capable of. The 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. Because that 1 talent, we know what he did with his fruit, but the Lord still entrusted him with that ability. The Lord still entrusted him with the chance to prove himself again, because God is always seeking to get us to a higher level. He's always seeking to get us a chance. So if we've messed up, I take hope in this, because if we've messed up in any area, then we can know that God is still going to try and do whatever he can to get it back to us. That if we've messed up in a certain area, I look for another area that I can prove myself faithful to him again in, because I want to be proved faithful. I want the blessings that come with it. Amen? So he had an opportunity, this man with the one, but we see what happened to it. But let's move on. Verse 16 says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And this verse, when I looked it up in other translations, I studied this out. I had fun studying this out last night. This verse, when you read it up in other translations, it says, he went at once. There was a sense of urgency behind what he did. When God gives us a job to do, the fruit of faithfulness doesn't just sit on it. The fruit of faithfulness doesn't just let it happen as it's supposed to happen. No, the fruit of faithfulness, when God's given us a responsibility, when he's given us light in his word and he wants us to be faithful with that light, or when he's given us an opportunity to serve in the church in some way, shape, or form, whatever it might be, we're to act on that, and we're to act on that quickly. This man, he had an attitude of urgency about him, that as soon as he knew what his job was, as soon as he had his job description, he went out and did that. He went out and took that, and he did exactly what he knew he was supposed to do to it. Our job is to win the lost. Our job is to be faithful with this gospel that we've been entrusted with. And a slothful nature, a lazy nature, will sit on it and bury that. Bury the hope of salvation beneath pride or fear that others may think of us strangely if we go before them and try and preach the gospel to them. That who cares what they think of us? They need to know. They need to know. You know, I've done a few funerals in my time. And my father-in-law's funeral was the first one where I knew that the person was born again. And I didn't care that there was family there. I didn't care that people already thought we were weird because we didn't have alcohol at our wedding. So I figured, hey, well, we might as well go down then if we're going to go down. And I went before them, and I just preached the gospel to them. I told them, Dad, I barely talked about Dad at all at the funeral, actually. I said he was a great man. I loved him. Appreciated that he brought my wife into the world, and I love my wife. And let me tell you about Jesus, right? We just went right to the next level there, because people need to know this. We've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be found faithful with that gospel that we've been entrusted with, we need to share that with people. We can't just keep it. We can't hide it in the ground. We can't forget about it. This is valuable stuff that we have in us. You know, when people in the world are hurting, when they're lost, when you hear someone talk about how they don't know where to turn, that they have a son or a daughter who's on, you know, who's dealing with alcoholism in their life, and they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. You have the answer. Are you going to withhold that? No, we can't withhold that from people. We're to tell them about Jesus. That's a perfect opportunity for us to go before them. If they think we're weird and they abandon us because of it, you know, it doesn't matter. If we talked about sowing and reaping earlier, we talked about the farmer and his field. If those seeds ever got mad at the farmer because he watered them, they'd still produce harvest, right? If they ever had a chance to get upset that, why did you put water on me? I didn't want water today. What is this water? You're weird for putting water on me. No, but they would still harvest. They would still come forth out of the ground. When we plant seeds in people, when we water the seeds that have already been planted in people, it doesn't matter what they think about us. It matters that those seeds have been planted, that harvest is being produced in their hearts because we've been faithful with the gospel that He's given us to preach. Let's see verse 17 here. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained the other two. So he went. And one translation of this says that he similarly went. Faithfulness will follow an example of faithfulness. That's why God has set up the body of Christ with us for fivefold ministries that we can follow. There's things that I look at in Pastor Michael that I'm so thankful to have served under him, because there's things that I see in his life, and I used to think, we have to renew our mind to the Word, that, you know, you get a tendency to think, because the devil will tell us to think this way, that when your pastor or when someone of God or someone in general has something nice, you have a tendency that the instant response of your flesh and your mind is to think they don't deserve it, right? I was listening to Pastor Nancy Dufresne once, and she said, poverty-minded people will drive down a road and see a nice house and say, no one deserves to live like that. Prosperity-minded people will drive down a road and see a nice house and say, everyone deserves to live like that. It's a different mindset that we have to get into. And when it comes to these things, when we see other people reaping the fruit of faithfulness, it's a law in the Word that a faithful man shall abound with blessing. And when we see a faithful man abounding with blessing, we're to rejoice at that, because we qualify for that. We have an opportunity to qualify for that. Because if we're proven faithful, then we will experience the same blessings in our life. I like to say, if it works for him, it'll work for me. Right? I see the fruit that Pastor Michael has in his life from years of faithfulness that he sowed. I'm excited to just be in those phases now, to have the chance to go through this time of proving faithfulness. You know, there's things that your pastor's walking in. There's fruit, obviously, that he's experiencing in his life because of the years of faithfulness that he has sowed. And who knows where we're going from here, because we go from glory to glory. So we know it's going to be gooder. We know it's going to be better. And we can't wait to get there. But when it comes to these things, we get excited for those that are blessed. We get excited for other believers that receive from God, because if God did it for them, He did it for us. If Scripture for this, yes, He's not a respecter of persons. The Bible says it all through the Bible. It says God is not a respecter for persons. What He'll do for one, He'll do for another, if that other is willing to pay the same price. I could go to Walmart and I could want a gallon of 2% milk. And as I'm standing there in the Walmart checkout and I see someone checking out with a gallon of 2% milk, I could stand there and I could look at that and I could get upset and pout and cry and whine that I don't have 2% milk. Or I could go to the back of the store, open the cooler, and grab some of my own 2% milk, right? The attitude of faithfulness will go to the back of the store and do what it takes to get the thing that it knows belongs to it. Right? When we know that there's blessings in the Word of God that come from being faithful, don't get mad when other people have those in their life. No, follow that example. This man, when he had the two talents and he gained the other two, he saw the fruit of it in the one that sowed five and gained five from it. That he now had 10, he now had 4, because he followed the example of someone that was faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 18. It says, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You know what's interesting is that he didn't misspend the money. He didn't go out, he didn't take that money, and he didn't blow it, he didn't waste it. You know, he probably thought he was being somewhat diligent with it, that he's not being wasteful. If I'm not sure exactly how their economy operated, but if these other two went out and they took their five, they took their two, and they risked losing some when they put it out in five and then received back the five from it. This man probably thought, well, I'm being safe because I'm not going to risk losing anything, whereas they risk losing it. He didn't waste it. He didn't do anything to it. But really what it came down to is his mindset towards the finances, his mindset towards the gift that he was given. There's people who are cheap with their finances, and there's people who are cheap with the gifts that they've been given, that they keep these things to themselves. If you know cheap people, you know that there's a certain way that they think, and usually there's a reason that they're cheap. I know cheap people. I'm going to keep saying the word because I don't want to be considered cheap. God's not cheap. God is not cheap. He furnished his temple in the Old Testament with gold. Gold everywhere just because he could. The church ought to be the best looking building in the city, right? Praise the Lord. So, you know, we're in Fredonia now. We're restoring that beautiful old church building that we got, and we're excited about it. And it's interesting. People have already said, you're putting that much into it? Yes, we are. Because that church ought to be the most beautiful building in the village of Fredonia. Just like this church ought to be the most beautiful building in South Dayton. I think it is. I don't know if you agree with me. I think it sure is. But when it comes to cheap people, I know cheap people. And usually, not always, usually the reason behind it is usually based in fear. You know, people, and you can't, sometimes you can't blame them, because I know people who have experienced, you know, depression times, or even maybe really got hit hard during the recession, that maybe didn't know God or things like that. And so they're afraid that those things are going to happen again. And so they're hesitant to part with their money. I know people who would rather drive five broken down cars than two nice cars, because they're afraid to part with the bigger number on that money. God, that's not God's mentality. He's entrusted us with these things. He's entrusted us with the supply of riches that Jesus Christ purchased to us. Let's be faithful with that. Amen. He's entrusted us with these things. But God didn't bless us with these gifts to keep them for ourselves. So just like gifts, we can't be cheap with our gifts because we're afraid, right? They're not going to go away. We cannot exhaust the gifts that Jesus has given to us. We cannot exhaust his supply in our life. We can't exhaust his healing in our life. We can't exhaust these things. And so let's not be afraid that they're going to go away. Let's not bury them in the ground or hide them under a napkin or under a bushel that no one can see them. No, these things are for all to see. These talents and gifts that he's given to us, that we're to be found faithful with these things, we need to let people know that we've got them. And not in a weird way, you know. We can't go before people and you know, weird Christians. I know weird Christians. They just go out and they preach a weird gospel. I don't know what you want to call it, but that's not what God's talking about when he says, let your light shine before men. Jesus said that my people shall know you by your love for me and by your works. That when we do good things for people, when we take care of people, when we're the one in the Walmart checkout buying the groceries for the person in front of us or behind us, when we're the one in the Tim Hortons drive-thru that buys the coffee for the person behind us in line, even if you don't have a chance to say God bless you to that person, that's not the important part. The important part is that we're living an example to them of what Jesus' love for them is. God loves to bless people. Doesn't matter whether or not you think the person deserves their blessing. God loves to bless people. Jesus died for each and every person on this planet, whether or not we think they deserve salvation. Jesus died for them. There's people I know that have done some evil, evil, evil things. And if it were up to me, you know, I don't know what I would do. But God's not me, and aren't you thankful for it? God wants people blessed. God wants people helped, and he'll do whatever it takes to do it. So let's just be reflectors of that. We'll be faithful to those things. Amen? So let's see here. Verse 21, we'll skip down a few. It said, his Lord said unto him, so his Lord came back from the time that he was away. So this is the type of when Jesus now comes back from his time that we stand before Jesus at his great return. We look forward to that. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's that saying we all want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The reward of their faithfulness was to enter into the joy of their Lord. Can you imagine? For years, we don't know how long this man left the vineyard, but for years, they entrusted him. Say this sum was $2 million. And this man entrusted him with $2 million that they were supposed to be faithful stewards of until he returned. Do you think the temptation ever came to take something from that? to take a cut from that, to take, you know, that I've got needs and I've got this $2 million. I don't know when he's coming back or if he's coming back, but he said he's coming back, but I sure have needs. So, you know, I'm sure he won't notice if I take a couple hundred off of this $2 million. But they didn't do that because that wouldn't have been faithfulness. Because when he got back, the reward for their faithfulness was to enjoy the joy of their Lord. One translation says, to enjoy his pleasure. You know, let me see here. Where do I want to go from here? Hebrews 11 tells us that God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That when we go before God, when we seek him, we don't seek to receive things. We don't seek to receive, you know, we walk in the promises in the light of his word, but we don't seek to receive the things that he's purchased for us. When we just seek him and to be pleasing to him and to be proven faithful to him, he'll reward us with the things that belong to us, right? He'll reward us with the things that he experienced when he was on the earth. He experienced full provision when he was on this earth. He experienced a life free from lack. He experienced a life free from sorrow and sickness and disease. He didn't have to take part in those things. And when we're faithful to be a light, when we're faithful to him to do the things that he's called us to do, we'll see those fruits in our life and even a higher manifestation. Let's see verse 24 here. It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know that you're a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not strawed. So it's interesting. What does the Bible say about Satan? Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. When this man was caught, when he was found out, the first thing he started doing was accusing his master of teaching him the wrong way. How many people do you know that do that? That when they're caught, what's your first response? The response of faithfulness when you're caught in wrongdoing is not to accuse the one that caught you, right? Faithfulness will accept its responsibility, repent, and get right before the one that caught them. That's what faithfulness does. But he didn't do this. So he had another chance here, right? We don't, you know, thankfully, this is a parable, because we certainly wouldn't want to make fun of this man, because we don't know his story. We wouldn't want to judge him on things that he's been through. But I'm certainly glad this isn't my story, because I want to be proven faithful, that when God comes before me, and he's given chance after chance after chance, that even when he messed up with what he was supposed to do, he had another chance to make it right. That when he got back before his master, he could have said, Master, I'm sorry. I put it in the ground. I was wrong. I don't know what I was thinking. I was doing the wrong thing. I'm sorry. I want to be right before you. But instead, he started saying, well, it's your fault. You trained me to be this way. You taught me to do these things. That's not the response of faithfulness. No, faithfulness will do whatever it takes to be right. Whatever it takes to be right. That's what faithfulness will do. In verse 26, it said, his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I could have received mine own with usury. And here's interesting. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which has 10 talents. Do you know, in the body of Christ today, there are those who don't want to walk in the light of healing. They don't think that healing's for them. They don't think that Jesus purchased healing for them. They think that God is trying to prove something in them by making them suffer with sickness. I've seen sickness on people. I've seen people whose life's been taken by sickness. That's not God. It's not a loving God. Our God, the Father, he loves us so much that he took sickness in his flesh when he died on the cross for us, that we wouldn't have to suffer these things. But there's people who don't want those things. And what's interesting is they're not experiencing them in their lives. This man, he didn't want to be faithful with the things that were entrusted to him. If these people are Christians that don't want healing in their lives, they're entrusted with the same ability to be healed that we are. All they have to do is release faith for it the same way. But when they're not, they don't get to, we may think this is harsh, right? That here's a man who wasn't faithful with it, so take from him and give to the rich. Take from the poor and give to the rich. How would you like to take that to the news? What would they have to say about the church, right? I want to take all the money from the poor and give it to the rich. Tax the poor so the rich don't have to have it, right? So the rich don't have to pay taxes. When we see it like that, in that light, that's interpreting it through the light of our minds, and that's not the way God intended it to be. No, he's saying these people weren't faithful with the things that were entrusted to them. If we're not faithful with it, we don't deserve to walk in it. Not that we don't deserve to. That's not the right word. What I mean to say is that if we're not faithful to want to have these things, like healing, like tongues, miracles, there's people who don't want to experience these things in their lives. They're not going to. But their loss is our gain. Right? We'll see these things. We'll experience the fruit of these things because we'll walk in the light of these things and be faithful to the words that's been taught to us, to be faithful to the Bible and the promises that it has for us in there. Let's see, where are we at on time here? We're nearing the end. There's just a couple things I just want to point out. We won't turn to these places, but I'll let you know about them. There were some areas that I wanted to point out that we needed to be faithful in. One of those that comes to mind is serving. Deuteronomy chapter 3, we don't have to turn there. Deuteronomy 3 talks about Joshua, who was raised up after Moses to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And we know the story of Joshua and Caleb, that they came before the promised land and they responded in faith. They responded the right way to it. They didn't respond in fear like the other 10 spies that went out. And so they were promised that they would see the fruit of that, that they would walk into the promised land. And so in Deuteronomy, Joshua is chosen in the beginning of Deuteronomy, chapter 3. He's chosen as the one to replace Moses because Moses wouldn't see the promised land either. And Joshua is commanded that God said through Moses that Joshua would be the one to replace him and lead the people into the promised land. But what's interesting is Joshua is not mentioned again for almost the rest of the book of Deuteronomy. What's he going through during that time? Did God forget about him? No, he's being proven faithful. That here he is, he knows that this million people, the Israelites that are here, that he has to lead these people. And that's constantly before him, that he's going to be the one to lead them into the promised land. The thoughts that must have come to him, because every decision that Moses made, he probably thought, I'm going to inherit this. This is going to be mine. I'm going to get this when he's done with it. What am I going to do with it? Would I do this? Would I do this differently? How would I handle this? And he had to maintain an attitude of faithfulness and honor towards Moses with every decision that he made, knowing that the time would come for him to replace him. So much so that when the time did come and he was finally released into that role to lead the Israelites into the promised land, that God had to command him time and time and time again, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be of strength and good courage, for I have equipped you to do this thing. Be strong and courageous, because he had proven himself faithful. And faithfulness will do whatever it takes without recognition for it. Faithfulness does not take credit for any decision made. When we're called to serve someone, when we're called to serve in a local church, it doesn't matter if we ever get the glory for what we do. Because the fact is, God said, what I see in secret, I'll reward openly. That when we do these things before God, when we go before him with a humble heart and say, God, I want to be found faithful in these things. I want to be faithful in all that I put my hand to do. He'll reward us for it. You know, Reverend Randy Greer, he comes and ministers at the Fredonia Church, and he shared this before. And it blessed me when he said it. And he has a tremendous ministry. He's a prophet. He walks in that office and he walks strongly in it. You know, he prophesies to presidents and visions and revelations that he has. And as he's walking in these things now, we see this great and wonderful ministry that he has. But one thing he said was that he knows God told him once. He said, I'm going to read what this says here. God couldn't have used me in a powerful way if I hadn't been there at the church year after year, opening the doors and turning on the lights. That's where his ministry started. He unlocked the church and he turned on the lights at the church. God didn't start his ministry as a prophet, prophesying to presidents. He didn't start his ministry with airplanes, traveling across the country, ministering the gospel. He started it in the local church, the exact place that we are here tonight. What an opportunity we have to prove ourselves faithful in the local church. Amen. Then the other way that we should be proven faithful is faithful in our faith. James tells us that the trying of our faith worketh patience in us. Or one translation says that it makes us mature and well-developed. That every opportunity we have to use our faith is an opportunity for us to prove ourselves faithful with the faith that we've been entrusted to. We've been entrusted with faith that people in the world don't have any idea about. They don't know how to weather storms like we do because they haven't been taught these things. We've been taught these things, and so we have an opportunity to prove ourselves faithful in them. You know, Sarah and Abraham, they were promised a child. And for years, they never saw that child, but they maintained their trust in God. That it says in Hebrews 11:11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faithfulness in faith will judge God faithful. When we're faithful in faith that we just trust God at His Word, that's faithfulness to His Word, and that's what blessings we'll reap from it. It's no coincidence that when it says a faithful man shall abound with blessings, if we trust God at His Word and we're faithful to do it, that when we have a need in our life, we're faithful to sow a seed, that we know that that's the key that it takes to get out of a time. When we have a need, sow a seed, because it's an opportunity for increase, right? When we have a need of healing in our bodies, that we sow the seed of faith into that, that I know my God is my healer, that by His stripes I have been healed. And we're proven faithful in these things, and we'll see the fruit of these things in our life. Not for our own glory. These blessings aren't just to be for us. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but they're not for us to hide in ourselves. They're for us to proclaim before the world that we have these we have this hope, the Bible says, this hope in Jesus Christ, and we'll share Him with the world. Amen? We'll be found faithful, won't we? Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You that it's a lamp to our feet, that it's a light to our path, that it's a help to us, Father. And Lord, I believe everybody here is family tonight, Father God. So we just thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You so much that there's promises in it. There's things in it that we need to know to equip ourselves with. And we'll be proven faithful in these things, in the gifts that You've given us, in the talents that You've entrusted to us, that when You come back, Lord Jesus, we'll be able to say before You, and You'll be able to say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're in the house of God tonight, and I wouldn't want to leave a service without giving this opportunity. I believe we're all family here and everyone's saved. But if you've made mistakes in your life and maybe you've walked away from the Lord, I wouldn't want to not have an opportunity like this for us to run back to Him. He's waiting with open arms. So if there's anyone in this house tonight, if you need to know Jesus or you need to rededicate your life to Him, this is an opportunity for you. I just invite you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. God's so good. Father, we just praise You, Lord. We magnify You. We thank You for Your Word, that it's helped to us. We thank You that, Lord, we'll be proven faithful. Then You'll be able to say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God's so good, isn't He? Just so enjoyed this time with everybody out here, and just so thankful for His Word. And take this, and whatever you put your hand to, be found faithful in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. Come back Sunday for service. And I believe Pastor Mike was correct in the prediction this week, right? I didn't watch the game. They won. He said they'd win, and they won. How about that? So come back out Sunday. We'll see what happens again.